Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to the NIAC School. Thank you. I need that gavel. Welcome to the NIAC School District Board of Education meeting for Tuesday, April 19th. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Approve the agenda. Dr. Montesano, Superintendent's Report.
Say it again.
It doesn't ask for my report, so maybe I shouldn't say anything. All right.
No,
I think
report
we're missing
by the president?
It doesn't ask for one here. It's not on the agenda.
Oh.
But
well, maybe we took you off the
I
agenda.
Will pull rack here.
It's not on mine.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. It comes before the call to order, though. I'm not sure what it is.
Okay.
That was a very nice report, Madam President.
You're welcome. All right, I guess I'll give a report. I better keep it brief at this stage. So a couple of things to mention. There were two wonderful events this weekend for the school district. On Friday evening, we had a field that we dedicated our new softball field, and it really is a very wonderful field. We had the pleasure of having Senator Carlucci, who managed to acquire some grants for us, not just for those fields, but for a couple of other fields in the school district, and he was there. We got a really late start because of, I think the visiting team arrived late, but he stuck around, and it was quite a good time until we were able to get started. So that was a wonderful event. It turned out that NIAC, I understand, won the tournament this weekend, so that was fantastic. But again, kudos to everyone, and again, once again, I just want to say thank you to the community for the support of the bond that allowed us to do this. It's a good thing for our kids, and just to see the pride and the pleasure with which these kids are on that field, it's gratifying, certainly to us as a board, when the community gets behind us and supports and aligns with what we want to do. So just another opportunity to say thank you. This weekend I attended the Jimison String Festival. If you've never done that, well, you missed it this year, but don't miss it. The continued improvement in our string program and our whole music, a lot of our programs, but it's another celebration of some of our great successes and some of the good things happening here in the district. So I'll take this opportunity to say that coming up in May, we have our usual concerts, the jazz band, the strings, etc. Take the opportunity to go see them because they're phenomenal. And you know, it always gives me goosebumps and brings me to tears towards the end when you see at the end of the festival the fourth graders, fourth right through to 12, playing a piece. It just, fabulous. So any opportunity you can get to watch these kids do that. Moving on, I don't want to elaborate too much, but this past weekend I was up in Boston at the National School Boards Association conference, and I find it a very tremendous event. I don't have an educational background, but when you go to these events and you get the opportunity to see what other districts, and it's a national conference, so you get representatives, either school board members, teachers, superintendents, vendors at this event. It's tremendous. I was accompanied by two other board members, so I won't talk about all the events we attended because we had duplicates, but one that I attended, I went to see the Cambridge public school system in Boston. It probably is about the size, I would say, of Yonkers, large school district. But when you look at some of the things they're doing about one-to-one Google Chromebooks, their use of technology, for me that's my pet peeve because that's my field. It really is inspiring, and I know that it's something that we're looking to move into. So I've brought back a lot of information for Dr. Montesano to look into this. And they've got, you know, age-appropriate equipment. They think about what it is they want to see at the kindergarten level versus the middle school versus the high school. They're working with a company called Biogen to give internships and doing curriculum in Biogen's facilities. They're collaborating with the public schools, and I'm thinking we've got Pfizer around the corner. you know, we've got Nyack Hospital around the corner. These are opportunities that we could possibly use. But again, a lot to share with the board, and I was suggesting to Trustee Irvin and Trustee Mott that perhaps what we should do going forward is have a workshop after these conferences that we attend, that we can have some fuller discussion around some of these things that we individually bring back and have a fuller discussion around that. One other thing I attended the National Black Caucus lunch, and there was a speech by, I've forgotten her first name, but she was the mother of Len Bias, and it didn't ring a bell, but he was a young man who back in 1986 died of a cocaine overdose 2 days after being signed, I think, first in the draft. Yeah. For the Celtics. And here she is in Boston giving a speech. And there was one phrase she kept kicking out. Kids are reachable, teachable, lovable, and savable. And, you know, not only did she lose Len, about 4 years later, her other son got killed in a drive-by shooting. So this is a woman who came from the depths of despair to step up, to say, listen, we can reach out to kids. So she was driven by a different motivation, but her point was, don't throw the towel in, don't give up. You know, you can get to kids, you can turn things around. So very inspiring. So lots more to say, but I won't dominate this meeting. So that's one more thing on my report I'd like to bring up, not from that. We have the Scholastic Achievement Dinner on May the 18th at the Doubletree Hotel. And this is where I think districts in the region have their valedictorians.
It's a number of Westchester. It's basically Lower Hudson valedictorians and salutatorians are being recognized that night.
Right. I'm unable to attend, so I just wanted to put it out there that if any other board member is free evening, it's May the 18th at 5:15 p.m. We should have representation. I believe, Dr. Manzana, you go.
Nicole is there, obviously our awardees.
If we could have a board member, just check your calendars and let Linda know. That's my report, Dr. Manzana.
Yes, just a couple quick things. Just a reminder, April 21st is Thursday. I think it's 1 p.m. We have the bid openings for the summer projects that are planned, so we'll be better positioned to know what our status is budgetarily in terms of what projects we believe we're going to be able to go forward with. Hopefully it'll be a very positive bid opening. Also, I just want to acknowledge that I know many of you are familiar with one-to-one learning, which provides English classes and supportive services for immigrants to empower them to reach their full potential and lead meaningful lives within their communities. Our Nyack High School Honor Society and their moderator, Simona Moldovan, along with several of our students, will be receiving the Youth Service Award at the Hands of Hope Gala on June 6th. And those students will be Phoebe Holland, Samantha Casanova, and Jeremy Cairo. I also wanted to just put a feeler out. Both Nicole and I are going to be sponsoring two of the students. It's a $100 dinner, so we will be looking for some sponsorship for that third student. So if anybody's interested, please, you know, let us know. We can ensure that all three students can be present. In addition, the last thing I have is I received a call from Michael Poveda, who's a parent of ours, also a member of Inspire NIAC. He also is on your agenda tonight. He is going to be donating personal coaching subscription for 1 year to assist our athletic department. Michael, along with members of Inspire NIAC, together with Deloitte and Touche, want to work with the district on June 10th for what's known as an impact day. So there will be a number of professional employees that are going to be working with Dave Johnson and the middle school eighth grade kids to develop a series of activities that will be kind of centered around the Shark Tank kind of concept. Kids will develop business plans. They'll have to do some creative ways to develop a project and see how to go about marketing it, et cetera. So it sounds like it's going to be a fun experience. It'll be a new experience for us. So I'll keep you posted as that goes forward. And that is my report.
Thank you much, Dr. Montesano. We'll have our student representative report, Hunter Draskin.
Thank you, President Hughes. I actually do not have a lot to report tonight. And I wanted to make sure I recognize a couple students that are here tonight, and I know they're being recognized in a few minutes, but I just wanted to make sure that I get to do it myself. So first, Carly Cummings is participating in the 2016 USA Olympic Trials this year. Which is extremely incredible, and I know that she has the support of the entire student body during this whole entire process. And also, I wanted to acknowledge the youth and government team on their accomplishments a couple weeks ago in Albany. I just want to read a list of names. I know this is happening again, but here we go. Owen Vucinas-Close, Adrian Stepper, Leah Brand, Hannah Curley, Emma Anderson, Brian Lovejoy, Jordan Hirsch, Ben Goldsmith, and Luca Reggiardo. Congratulations on your accomplishments. Also, one last thing. At the end of May, we're going to be holding our student council elections after AP weeks. Owen is also going to be running, actually, for my position. So he will do a great job if he does win. Whoever does win, I'm sure they will do a great job. Just wanted to give him that recognition also. And that is my...
Manager,
oh, don't worry, I'm getting paid well right now. And that is my report.
Thanks very much, Andrew. All right, let's move on to our board reports. Let's start with Trustee Marshall.
Thank you, President Hughes. Just a couple of things. I attended with, first of all, I wanted to say if you exercise whatever your political affiliation is today in our primary vote, our primary election, good for you. And if you didn't, shame on you.
I still have time.
Yeah, I still have time. It's 9 o'clock, the polls close. I attended with Dr. Montesano the student advisory meeting 2 weeks ago on, I believe that was a Thursday, and it was very enlightening. He proceeded to go over in great detail the improvements on our anticipated projects, and I think, Hunter, you were there. I think the students are really appreciative of that, so that was just a great experience to talk about. And one thing of particular note was your information about the collaboration with Nye Hospital and the having individuals in different careers from the hospital work with our students. So I think that was a very good meeting, and it was good to see the students' response to that. I also joined several board members, as President Hughes has already pointed out, in the field dedication. I thought that was a really good community event. You know, not it wasn't just circulated around the softball team, which they really battled back and ended up beating Rye, but just being with the community, having everybody being around and seeing the amazing accomplishments of the bonds and seeing that new field. Everybody was very excited. The weather was good. I understand the president did manage to get the ball slightly over the...
the same area code.
In the general vicinity. But that was really good. I mean, that was a good event. We'll work on that for next time.
I did better than Senator Carlucci, though.
Did you?
At least I went underhand. He went overhand.
Oh, he went over, so he actually cheated.
Boys can't play softball. Sorry.
No worries. I also wanted to point out, and I shared this with Dr. Montesano, that April is Distracted Driving Month. I know that I have recently lapsed a bit, and those work texts come in. And I can talk in text, but to me that's still, you know, distracting. So I just wanted to point out that this is the month where you want to be, you know, more aware of not texting while driving. And NIAC did feature a film a couple years ago, the One Second to the Next film, with respect to distracted driving around texting. And also our Okada group is doing something around drinking and driving. I believe it's May 3rd, sponsored by... Save a Life Tour, SALT is the acronym.
Yeah, that actually would be a very interesting experience for our kids, because it's a driving simulation, which does include both text while driving as well as driving under the influence.
Yeah.
But it's a true virtual simulation of, you know, driving, and kind of similar to what we do on senior prom day with the goggles and golf carts. But this is through a, you know, computer active screen.
Yeah. I think the texting piece is particularly relevant because it's you don't even have to wait to view it in, within this high school. It's on YouTube, and it's just a very impactful film, really, you know, featuring young people, and it, you know, does the whole fourth wall where they're talking about the person So if you get a chance, go on YouTube and look at that. But I just wanted to highlight that since it is Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and that is my report.
Thank you very much, Trustee Marshall. Trustee Jupiter.
Thank you, President Hughes. I really don't have anything to report. For those, you know, I've said this a couple months ago, but I am not running for re-election for the school board. I'm passing it off to the next person. But it's my understanding that there are only three people that put their names in as of the close of Monday, and it's closed now. So there are three people running for three positions, and that means they're de facto board members. And and really enjoyed working with Michael Mark for the 6 years I've been here, and for Terrence Rock, who's not here tonight, but for the short term. And I applaud both of them for their continued service, and Damon Bender for his soon-to-be service. It's slightly disappointing to me that we are not exercising our fundamental democratic responsibility of not just voting, but becoming involved by being volunteers, by being on the board, or trying to be on the board. And I think that it is disappointing to me. And while I wish the three de facto board members all the best, and in some ways it's a compliment to the current running of the board, and that people are happy, so they don't feel the need to run. Frequently, the need to run is a compelling rationale for someone who's got an issue, or there's a community issue that people coalesce around to run. But I would think that I would have thought that there would have been some opportunity for more people to get involved, so that there's a true vetting of the candidates. And I'm disappointed in that, though. So, but I wish the three that are there all the best, and I'll be very supportive. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Trustee Irvin.
Yes, thank you. The field was a lot of fun the other night. I'm really, really impressed with both the softball field and the multipurpose field. Everyone in the community has opined that they love it. The kids seem really excited to be playing on it. They look beautiful, and I'm very pleased to have been part of the process to get that approved. I was in a rush to get back from Westchester because I was stuck in traffic on the Tappan Zee Bridge trying to get to opening day ceremonies, and then ended up standing there for an hour and a half. That's okay. That was fun. And of course, my daughter, who plays softball, insisted that we stay for the entire game, so I had to run home and get a coat because I was cold by that point. But it's definitely worth it. I'm very glad. It was a wonderful community event. And again, thank you to Senator Carlucci for his efforts. It was nice to have him there. As Karen mentioned, I did go to the NSBA conference in Boston. I, like Karen mentioned, I don't have an education background, but you learn so much information at those conferences. You come home almost with the information overload. And fortunately, I had a train ride home from Boston to sit and kind of relax on the way back, because it was so much information to absorb. But one of the things I wanted to point out, and I did talk to Winsome about this earlier today, we went to the Boston Science Museum for a discussion on how they integrate science and engineering education through the school districts, and how the Science Museum is geared to being able to address school field trips with specific targeted topics. If they're doing animals, they have a center where they have a whole worksheet that they give out to the different school districts to go through the museum and see the displays that are pertaining to that. Gives them questions and study guide materials. And in addition to that, they also had a presentation by an academic educator from Yale who was talking about how easy it is to integrate engineering technology learning within the science curriculum that our elementary kids are doing. So she was talking about, like, she had us building a sail and running tests on how we could improve and develop a sail to run this little boat across this little string thing that she had set up. And when they're talking about wind and learning about earth movement and stuff like that, they integrate this technology on how to build sails. I think my sail did better than your sail, but...
Thank you.
It was a little funny because I'm not at all that creative, and I made a really big sail, and Karen's was really elaborate, really nice, but mine just. But we were sort of competing with each other, and it was, this is a school board conference. But It's definitely worth investigating. I will say, and I'm going to shout this out to the music department again, I did talk to Joe Piccirillo about this when he was here, but they have always have at these conferences musical performing groups from the various schools, and I have asked, and I think we need to seriously consider getting NIAC's Chamber Orchestra to play at one of these conferences one year. I mean, they are certainly of the caliber to be able to do that and to highlight our school, I think would be wonderful. And so I'll call Claudette Jimerson and talk to her about that and see if it's possible. I mean, there's an application process, but I'm sure it would certainly be worth doing. And that is my report.
Wonderful. I will add one of the, just that engineering thing, because I think I looked up on their website, and one of the things, funny you should say that, they talked about is when you have kids doing engineering, they love to build. There's no such thing as failure. Because you build it, it doesn't work, you just keep going, you know? And I thought it conceptually was a wonderful thing, because there's no right answer when you're studying engineering and science. So that was wonderful. But, yeah,
it was very good.
Mine didn't fail. Never did. Trustee Mark.
President Hughes.
Thank you.
A number of things to report. I also was at the Jimerson String Festival and did want to add the fact that besides all the wonderful things that have been said already, We have a great staff in the music department, including a new strings teacher at the middle school level, Tammy Yee. And one of the things that they did at the String Festival this year was that they announced that for the first time there's a smaller string ensemble at the middle school level. And the performance they did at the Jimerson Festival was a piece that the high school string ensemble had once done at a competition. So that just speaks to the level of commitment and drive that the staff and the students have. And they did a great job. They did a great job. Just briefly, I am honored to sit on the board of Rockland 21C. I see Brian Burrell here is tonight. He's on that board as well. I don't know if there's anyone else here who's there. But we had a meeting this week, and it was a fantastic meeting. Among the things that were presented was something that had to do with parent-child home visiting that 21C supports, and the efforts that schools make to go into the homes and communicate with parents and sit them down with the kids with a book on the lap. And we had representatives from North Rockland come, and one of the people that go to the houses now and do visits is somebody, a mom, who had been a recipient of those services, and now was providing the services to go there and talk about school systems and how to make some families that were in need of those services know what's available to them and interact with the kids. And that dovetails with some of the things that happened at the National School Boards Conference. The first one I was able to go to in all the years that I've been on the school board, because I'm usually working on the weekends. I should point out that we had a resolution on this board to send two representatives, so it wasn't in the budget to send me, so I hadn't intended to go. I also serve on Rockland BOCES, and it turns out they have a budget line with some dollars assigned to that, and there was one representative who was supposed to go and couldn't, so I got to go courtesy of Rockland BOCES on money they'd already allocated, so no harm, no foul. And it was just enlightening, and it was just wonderful. I won't touch on the things because Karen was talking about we'll have a workshop later, but one thing that I had to touch on that made a great impression on me, and it just shows the kind of things that they show at these school board conferences. I touched base with Dr. Montesano just briefly on this thing. This was a presenter named Glenn Singleton, who is the founder of the Pacific Educational Group. And he had a workshop called Board Members Leading Courageous Conversations About Race and Equity in Your District. And the thing that he was pointing out was that there are budget dollars and there are policies to address English language learners and special education needs and things like that. When it comes to things like the achievement gap, in which the people who are suffering in that are often students of color, there isn't a policy specifically addressing racial equity in most districts. And the idea is not to just go and get a template and just slap it in your policy book so it looks like you're doing something that's good. The idea is to make it an exercise, and this is something that our superintendent is great at, going out into the community, finding the needs of the community, finding what has to be done to address this kind of a thing, and then institutionalizing it, making it part of the system with policy. And it was a new idea for the big assemblage there. It's something that's being done in Portland, Oregon school system, and I'm hoping it's something that we can talk about some more. There were a lot of other things that were happening at the conference. I hope that we'll be able to talk about them and provide some information. And that's it. Lastly, on Thursday night upcoming, two events. There's the NAACP dinner, which is a big event, and there's also the Empty Bowls event at the high school, which is a big fundraiser to help the hungry. So if you're not going to one, I hope you'll go to the other. Thank you. That's my report.
Thanks very much, Trustee Matt. Last but certainly not least, Trustee Maraschino.
Well, and after all that great information, I really don't have anything to report on this evening. I've had a busy work week, and I've been enjoying a lot of great baseball at high school and Little League, and I think you guys touched on everything. So that's it.
That's your report.
That's it.
Thank you very much. Okay. Dr. Montesano, any responses to citizens' prior proposals, questions, and concerns?
No, there are not.
Okay. Sorry, Kevin. I forgot the list there. No, sorry. So at this point in time, just to know, we accept, we have a list of sign-in sheets if anybody wanted to speak to any, had any proposals, questions, and concerns. This would be the time to address this. Now, we do have a recognition portion coming on up on our agenda. So if any of these are talking to workshop items, I'd rather you hold off on commentary so that we can get to our recognition, if that's okay, generally. So we have a presentation. We've got East Ramapo, both of which are in the workshop. So Brian and Oscar, if you're okay to hold off while we get through our recognition. Yeah? Okay. All right, good. Dr. Montesano.
Well, okay. I appreciate Hunter's comments. He took pretty much everything I had to say. by the way, next recognition, I'm going to bring you together. I think you've been doing a very competent job to do it yourself. But this time, Lisa Ritalik is here. She's going to assist me with organizing our certificates. I would also ask President Hughes to join us as well to recognize on behalf of the board these outstanding students we want to bring to everyone's attention. And as Hunter so graciously led into, the first individual we want to recognize is in fact Carly Cummings. So Carly, if you can come on up, please. I would like you to face the audience because I do want to just embarrass you a little bit and just talk a little bit about your very impressive accomplishments. Carly is being recognized for her extraordinary athletic accomplishments in swimming, mm-hmm. while also maintaining a 4.0 GPA. Mm-hmm. And I think that in itself is really important. If you've ever raised a child or participated yourself as a competitive swimmer, you know the amount of time commitment, as well as obviously the commitment related to keeping a GPA to that level. Now a junior at Nyack High School, she has been swimming since she was 5 years old. While competing in multiple events throughout the United States, she has been training for the ultimate competition in Omaha, Nebraska at the 2016 USA Olympic Trials, where the U.S. team will be selected. Carly has competed and placed in national level meets that included swimmers like Michael Phelps, Ryan Lochte, and Missy Franklin. Last year, Carly had the opportunity of representing the United States as a swimmer and captain at the Irish Open in Dublin, Ireland. 2016 will be an exciting year for Carly as she continues her journey and on the road to Rio.
Congratulations.
Our next group, which I believe Hunter also introduced earlier, is our YMCA Youth and Government Recognition. And I know I can tease Hunter. I have great respect for Hunter. We're going to definitely miss you. The Youth and Government Program provides students the opportunity to learn about and simulate how New York State's government is organized and functions. All of our students choose to participate as legislators. Beginning in early October, students work to create and research topics of interest and then develop legislation with the goal of improving our state in a meaningful way. On March 11th, they attended a weekend-long conference in Albany where students had a unique opportunity to present, debate, and vote on student-inspired legislation. The proceedings were held at the Capitol building and students got to sit at the desks of our state representatives. There were approximately 550 students from around New York State. Elected student representatives led the entire conference with modest help from advisors. Before I introduce the students being recognized, there is a gentleman here I do also want to recognize who has been a tremendous supporter of the NIAC schools and the young people in New York. And I know Chuck Mays, our executive director of YMCA, is here. And Chuck, if you can just stand up directly. Yes. This year,
23. Also, thank you, Dr. Montesano, and the school board and everyone involved for supporting this club.
Sorry, Chuck, you need to speak.
Sorry.
For the podcast.
Michael Barano, the social studies advisor for the program, and Mrs. Lynette Marshall have been very strong.
Requirements of transgender individuals need to fulfill to receive reassignment surgery. If I can ask Emma Anderson, Leah Brand, Hannah Curley, and Brian Lovejoy to please come forward. Technical difficulty.
It's
under
L.
You got his?
Oh, she took it.
And you guys won a competition.
We were next.
Nominated for best bill in the assembly to amend Title IX, Article 45, the Vehicle and Traffic Law, to change the method of determining fines from traffic violations to allow variance in the fine based on perpetrators' income. Interesting. Adrian Stepper, Jordan Hirsch, Ben Goldsmith, and Luca Reggiardo. Student being recognized ran a campaign to be elected for the office of youth governor. Owen Butsinas Close, who delivered a comprehensive and engaging speech that revealed his vision for the youth and government program moving forward and fielded questions from the youth press of over 500 students in attendance from around the state of New York. Owen, please come forward. As Owen is returned to his seat, just as a little additional noteworthy statement about Owen, he was also selected to attend a conference on national affairs known as CONA this summer in Black Mountain, North Carolina. Adrian Stepper was selected as the alternate. So congratulations. If I can ask all those students, including Carly, that were recognized tonight, just please stand once again for one last round of applause. Mm-hmm. family that are here, this is always a good opportunity to leave us. You're welcome to stay for the board. But before you do, I just want to give an opportunity, if any board members want to make any quick comments.
Trustee Marshall?
I did, really quickly. Both of my children were involved in youth and government, a.k.a. YAG. And I just saw them blossom through the program. Enough cannot be said not on the program, Mr. Barano, Chuck Mays, but you, the students, and the bills that you put together and the experience that you have in Albany. Just so proud that NIAC is still being represented in YAG. And I hope that I know that you will continue to go through the program. And my children are still friends with their youth and government friends today on Facebook and in college. So congratulations and keep it up.
Yeah. I just had to say really quickly, Carly, so impressive. I am so proud of you. And the rest of you guys, I did youth and government when I was in high school. So I have such big memories of going up to Albany and sitting in the Capitol. And it was pretty cool. So I'm so proud of you. I think you guys did a great job. So excellent.
Thanks very much.
Okay, as on cue, once again, that this would be the time to come up. Oh, a picture?
Yeah, that would be great.
How's that?
Yeah,
no,
thank you.
What's that?
Really?
That's cool.
Congratulations. Good night. Congratulations. Good night. That's great. Okay, so moving on. Citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns. We have a couple of sign-ins. Mr. Brian Burrell.
Kevin, also, you know, maybe get that door closed so we can hear Brian well enough. Thank you.
First of all, I want to take this opportunity to thank the board and the superintendent for doing such a great job for the students in NIAC. I think Dan put it well. One of the reasons that there aren't a lot of people that are looking to run for the board is because each of you have done such a wonderful and commendable job, and I just wanted to first of all, say thank you. Thank you for your service. It's not easy, but it is well worth it for the children in the district. Sarah Chauncey is a good friend of mine. She's also the president of the Nanuet Board of Education. And recently, the Nanuet Board of Education passed a resolution, whereas with professional guidance from the superintendent, school boards are responsible for decision-making and oversight of district funds in a fiduciary role, infrastructure, resources, personnel, curriculum, and related programs with the overarching goal of providing a high-quality, equitable education for public school students. It is outlined by state law to provide specific services and resources to private school students residing in the district. And whereas when a board consistently acts in a manner which diminishes the quality of education for students, public and or private, stringent oversight is essential. And whereas we concur with the monitor's report regarding the East Ramapo School District, now therefore be it resolved that the Nanuet Board of Education supports the appointment of a monitor with veto power to ensure the East Ramapo School Board decisions are in the best interest of all students. The district clerk is directed to send this resolution to Assemblymember Jaffe, Assemblymember Zabrowski, and State Senator David Carlucci. I support this resolution, and I hope that the board will also consider it as well. Thank you for putting it on the workshop. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves." It's one of the reasons that I've come back to actually speak tonight. It's also a reason that I've come because I understand where some of you might have difficulty supporting something that would seem to some to be a no-brainer, and it happens to be the governance problem. The governance issue. How is it that one body can be saying something to another, taking away the rights of their district's voters? I would have been in that camp and was in that camp for a long time, but there came a point in time where I saw that there was an override button that was needed. And I think that things have happened so significantly in that district, that boards like Nanuet and NIAC should go on the record, hopefully pushing the Senate to the place where they will also stand up for students who cannot speak for themselves. There comes a time, said Dr. Martin Luther King, when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but he must take it because conscience tells him it is right. And I'll end with another quote by Dr. King, who I think speaks loudly to me and I know to all of you. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter. To me, this is something that matters. I know it matters to you, and I hope that you'll strongly consider a resolution like that one presented by the Nanuet Board of Education. Again, thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Brian, and thank you for your kind words. Oscar Cohen.
Okay, if I sit down.
Yeah, sure.
I'm older than Brian. Welcome. Thank you for this opportunity. I'd like to say my three children are all graduates of the NIAC school system from Upper NIAC through the high school, and it was a very good experience for them. I'm speaking tonight on behalf, oh, by the way, getting back to Thursday night and the NAACP dinner, I'd like to echo what Michael indicated. The speaker is Dr. Reverend William Barber. He's the head of the NAACP in North Carolina, and he is the author of a book that's being circulated around the country about a concept called Moral Mondays. He has organized various groups in North Carolina, and that's becoming a model, a community organization model that's being looked at throughout the country. So if you have an opportunity, I know there's a competing event at the school, but if you have an opportunity to come to the dinner, it will be quite worthwhile. I also speak as the education chair of the NIAC branch of the NAACP, and I'm the co-chair of the Spring Valley branch of the NAACP. I am speaking tonight on behalf of Rockland Clergy for Social Justice. The executive committee, or pastor, I'm doing this for a reason, you'll figure it out. Pastor Carl Johnson from Grace Point Gospel Fellowship, Pastor Melvin Mudgeon from AME Zion in Spring Valley, Rabbi Adam Baltichin from Montebello Jewish Center, Rabbi Ari Hart from Uri Letzedek, which is from New York City. It's Orthodox for Social Justice. Rabbi Craig Sheff from Orangetown Jewish Center. Rabbi Michael Shergel from the Reformed Temple of Rockland. Rabbi Paula MacDrill from the Orangetown Jewish Center. Reverend Barbara Hoffman from the United Methodist Church in New City. Reverend Owen Thompson, one of yours, from Grace Episcopal. Reverend Weldon McWilliams from First Baptist in Spring Valley. Trustee Mazim Faruqi from the Islamic Center of Rockland, which is around the corner, and Trustee Yusuf Quinn from the Jari Order of America, which is the mosque in Chestnut Ridge. There have been people who have made allegations that what's going on in East Ramapo, what the proposed legislation is about, that the legislation has tones of anti-Semitism. I'm here to really dispel that. It has tones of a lot of other things, but it's not anti-Semitic. And the reason why Rockland Clergy for Social Justice came together was that the community groups speaking on behalf of the public school children in East Ramapo were not getting very much traction with Albany, because in Albany they feared that taking a side or supporting one group would be opposing another group. Well, Rockland Clergy came together in 2013, this mixed group and many other church organizations, this was the executive committee, they came together to advocate on behalf of the children attending the public schools, not to demonize, not to point fault or blame at any group in the community, including the board, but to advocate for the public school children who were not getting nearly what the other children in the seven other districts in Rockland County were getting in terms of educational services. So Rockland Clergy for Social Justice traveled to Albany a number of times, and it was their visits that was the pivotal point, the watershed moment, to get Governor Cuomo and Regent Chancellor, Regent Merrill Tisch, to appoint a monitor to study the district. It was Hank Greenberg. I don't know if you've seen copies of the reports. I'm not going through any of the reports, so don't get worried. 61 pages long, but I can send you electronic versions of the report. That report was met with recommendations by Mr. Greenberg for a monitor in real time that had authority, that had binding authority, that had veto power over decisions of the board based on what he found. He was a former federal prosecutor and a person of who's done a lot of work for the State Education Department and a person whose reputation is flawless. The Assembly passed the legislation. You know most of this. The Senate didn't. It then went back to more meetings between the Agudath Israel, which is the national arm of the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community in the United States, and the school board, and the regents, and our legislators. And that led to the appointment of a second monitor, somebody to do a study of the study. I guess it's called a meta-study. That's a joke. Dennis Walcott, former Chancellor of Education in New York City and former Deputy Mayor, was somebody that no one who had a very strong relationship with the ultra-Orthodox community in New York City was not welcomed with open arms by the community, including the NAACP, because they didn't know why Agudath Israel supported him. Going back one step, when Hank Greenberg was announced by the governor and by Merrill Tisch to be the monitor, the president of the East Ramapo School Board, a member of the ultra-Orthodox community, said this was a result of the bigotry in the community. Hank Greenberg opposed to this recommendation. We, meaning the NAACP and Rockland Clergy for Social Justice, went to meet with Mark Stern, who's the general counsel of the American Jewish Committee. The American Jewish Committee is probably the most influential political action group in the United States for the Jewish community. And they speak for the Jewish community outside the United States, too. They're not ultra-Orthodox. They speak for Orthodox, conservative, and reform. And Mr. Stern said, we feel your pain, and we can identify with the legislation that's been put forth by Assemblywoman Jaffe and Zabrowski and Senator Carlucci, but we have one concern. Our concern is the monitor that's in the legislation is only for the children attending the public schools. If you could make that change to include all children, we will endorse that legislation. And before me, I have a letter from General Counsel Mark Stern. By the way, the Executive Director of the American Jewish Committee is David Harris. He has a radio program, he has columns, goes around the world speaking on behalf of Jewish causes. In this letter, Mark Stern says, I am pleased to endorse Assembly Bill as amended. The bills would create a monitor with substantial authority to oversee the East Ramapo School District. The problems of East Ramapo School District are well documented. Their causes are complex and are in large measure, but not exclusively, the unfortunate intersection of the district's unique demography and the state aid formula. Then, too, there are issues of mismanagement by the school board and deep cultural fissures, not only do students, especially, it seems, public school students, suffer in the resulting dysfunction, but community peace is endangered as well. The present legislation will go far to restore trust in the school board. The bill respects the right of majority to elect a school board, but places an independent check on its actions such that the public school community will be assured that the public schools will provide a first-rate, well-rounded, and complete education comparable to that offered by other districts. Given the split in the community, we are particularly pleased that the bill's sponsors were willing to amend the legislation so that the monitor will be charged both with seeing to the boards carrying out its primary responsibility to the public schools and protecting the rights of all students in the district, including those attending non-public schools. This amendment ensures that the bill cannot be portrayed as hostile to members of East Round Post Orthodox Jewish community. Adoption of this bill will not alone bring peace to the East Ramapo community, but it's an important start, and the American Jewish community is pleased to endorse it. So a stronger endorsement from a national Jewish organization could not be asked for. And they went on, this was not easy for them to do, because Jewish organizations, just as any other organization, do not want to see themselves in a divisive role with other organizations of a similar mission. In addition, the organizations, and I won't read the whole list, the organizations that have come out in support, just some of the organizations, the Alliance for Quality Education, which is a major educational organization in New York State, the American Jewish Committee, the Anti-Defamation League, the Jewish Alliance for Law and Social Action, the Jewish Labor Committee, the New York City Bar Association, the New York Civil Liberties Union, I'm going to put you to sleep. That was just a few of the people on the list. So, piggybacking on Brian's statement, I found a quote by a rabbi who was kicked out of Germany by Hitler, wasn't killed, just kicked out, Joachim Prince. Some of you may know him. Not know of him. One of the films in the Jewish Film Festival last year was a documentary about Rabbi Prince. Rabbi Prince was the only rabbi invited by Martin Luther King to appear at the 1963 March on Washington. There's a picture of him in this article. Rabbi Prince, who then ended up in New Jersey running a major civil rights Jewish organization, quote, "When I was the rabbi of the Jewish community in Berlin under the Hitler regime, I learned many things. The most important thing that I learned under those most tragic circumstances was that bigotry and hatred are not the most urgent problem. The most urgent, the most disgraceful, the most shameful, and the most tragic problem silence." So I'm here tonight to say, please don't think of this as an issue of anti-Semitism. I know it's the third rail of politics in New York State. That is unfounded. Is there an issue of friction and tension between and among communities? Absolutely, and we can talk about those. We're asking the NIAC school board to not remain silent. The children, and not to take a position opposed to any group, to take a position that advocates on behalf of the children who are suffering more than any children in the 8 school districts in Rockland County, not only by virtue of lack of funds, but by virtue of active, deliberate decisions made, we can go into that, I don't find them racist, except racism and discrimination and prejudice do not require intent. So I don't find them necessarily intentional, but the impact is the same. So thank you, and I'm open to any questions.
Thank you very much. Okay. Are there any other comments from the community at this time? No. Okay, so Oscar, we're going to get to our resolution, but thank you very much for your guidance to us. Much appreciated. Right. Thank you much. Let's move on. Dr. Montesano, point 3.2.
Yes, we at this time I'm going to invite Dr. Judith Wilson to have a quick conversation or a conversation with the board regarding her external review of the guidance program and services. The board has had an opportunity to look at her report, and you'll note the various, I thought, very comprehensive process of speaking with students, with parents, surveying students and parents, speaking with staff. And one thing I just want to note before I turn it over to Judy is that if you read her opening comments, it's very much in line with, in my belief, of the way we have tried to address really all the functions and operations of the school district over the past 5 years, and that is viewing ourselves as a learning organization, trying to be reflective of our practice, and whether we look at our curriculum, and at our next meeting, Dr. Gregory will be, and Gina Capiello will be speaking to the board about our social studies program, which is now the fourth of our phases of our cycle of curriculum renewal, which always begins with an honest, hopefully honest, candid review of where we are and figuring out where we need to be. That bond referendum that many of you are talking about that led to the beautiful fields along with a number of facility things really began with a community-based 44-member committee that looked at a needs assessment, where we are, what needs to be looked at and addressed to be able to move us forward to have a facility in all of our schools that is conducive to education. The bilingual programming that we had gone through this past year, and you saw the outcomes, we've made tremendous strides over this past year by looking back at ourselves in a reflective way and trying to understand where we need to go going forward. I think this report, in my view, is very much in line with that form of thinking. I do think it's going to contribute to the growth of our guidance services for all children in the district, and I'm going to now turn it over to Judy.
Thank you, Dr. Montesano. Good evening, everyone. I have to comment that being present for your discussions and your highlights over the last hour literally made me want to be a superintendent again, and that was a lot. It really did. It was it's so impressive, and it has been an honor to meet many of your students and parents and have conversations with a couple dozen of your leaders throughout the district. And I do want to echo that I devote my time and energy only to growth models and learning points and where districts and administrators and students can go with the next step forward. And so I really appreciate the fact that none of this came from a deficit model. None of it came from find out what's wrong. I wouldn't have been a part of it. But beyond that, it wouldn't have been nearly as productive or healthy for you as a school district and for a community. Pardon my back. And so it did come from a place that was looking for growth points, looking for next steps, and really behaving truly in everyday practice as a learning organization for students, but with adults. Where do we go from here? And so quick overview of process, and then I'll jump right to those learning points and recommendations. The process, first of all, I think to get fresh eyes, to have an unbiased look, an external look, is a really healthy process and one that you've engaged in several times in the last years, and I think are wise to do so when you're faced with future program reviews. And you know, we know what we know internally, and we have very strong opinions based on our own children's experiences, based on our neighbors' children's experiences, based on the past that might not be so anymore. And so the critical friends model and the external review is really a healthy system that I applaud you for, but I also hope is internalized as part of your practice forevermore. So the process involved three major facets. One-to-one on-site interviews, focus groups, and electronic surveys. And I really want to express appreciation to people who were candid, direct, all coming from the point of what's possible next for our students. many good people, lots of talent in the district, and you're working from a very strong foundation, and that is great. Not news to you, but that is a great affirmation of the work that it happens in the school district, K-12. So there were 14 one-to-one interviews, and I've listed those in the report, but every guidance counselor, 6-12, this was primarily 6 through 12, although in my recommendations there is some commentary about K-5 as well. The school psychologist, the school nurse, the principals, each were interviewed for 45 to 60 minutes individually with the same basic sets of questions, looking for patterns, looking for trends, and getting people's recommendations, right? Really, really asking also the open-ended question of where would you go next if you got to choose? Where can the guidance programs and services grow the most on behalf of students? If you were to choose, what would that be? And to be very specific about that. And people were, they were eager to be specific, and they had been very, very reflective. And then there were two forums held at the high school, one for students, which Hunter helped organize, I think. And I got to spend lunch hour with a cross-section of students, representatives from 9 through 12, and different sets of interests represented among those students, different sets of academic courses represented among those students. And following the students, a couple of hours later, a group of parents. And clearly, not just from the many parents who showed up for that forum, but also from the return of responses from the electronic surveys by your parents. Your parents, as you know, are very engaged, very caring about the quality of education, and very engaged. And they were able to be quite specific about their opinions, their experiences, and their hopes for what would happen next. You are working from a very strong base of devoted professionals. They care deeply about the students and the student success in NIAC. And you can see from several strands of the responses that parents and students themselves believe that when they go to an adult and when they go to a counselor, they go to a caring person who very much wants to help them on an individual basis with their decision making, their issues, their options, their opportunities. There is principal leadership at the middle school and high school level. I didn't get to meet elementary principals, so I'm speaking just middle school and high school. There is principal leadership that is very closely aligned with the goals, the mission, and the hopes for what will happen for future programming and future staffing. And as you know, you have great resources in the community, and your counselors take great advantage of the Rockland County Counselors Association and the developmental after-school programs that are in the community, strengths that don't exist in many districts that they are able to coordinate with and partner with. All positives, all positives. And so, right to the recommendations, right? From that information, from that input, I was able to look at trends, of course, across the interviews, the forums, and the surveys, and added my own, which I kept on a separate sheet, my own observations by the reviewer, just programmatic observations, strengths, a couple of points for consideration of what happens next. In the report, from pages 15 through 18, I list very specific recommendations, and I listed them in a format that I just want to be sure to annotate. The format is in three tiers, and it is not in a timeline. It's in impact levels. So tier one being the recommendations that I feel would have the greatest, deepest, most immediate impact for the students of NIAC and their families, and then tier two and tier three. You can simultaneously approach many of them depending on resources and time and personnel, but I did want to go in preference of impact because I think it matters greatly for you to know bang for the effort and greatest improvement right up front. There is a framework called ASCA. It's the American School Counselors Association's framework for counseling. It is widely accepted and recognized. Your counselors are very familiar with it. And it is a tool, a framework that could be be readily adopted, more deeply embedded within the district, and serve in many ways for both curriculum development and personnel evaluation and program assessment. And so I do recommend strongly that that ASCA framework become a living, working framework K-12 that can provide a structure that you don't need to make up, you don't need to redesign. Right? It's a well-researched, a good tool for you. There are three strands within that framework that the most effort needs to be placed within the school system. The first is an actual definition of curriculum and program for guidance services. That K-12, there, just as there is for social studies or literacy or science, there needs to be what is the skill set that we will teach, that we will directly teach and expose our children to on a yearly basis, K-12. That's not just an event. You have many events. You have many programs. You have services that might be at one grade level and not the other. Programs that might happen one year and not the next. One person might adopt, not the next. And that needs to be tightly coordinated so that you say, K-12, we can point to it. This is our continuum of learning for our students and the way that we will deliver it. And that ASCA framework can help catapult that, like launch that very, very easily and be adoptable. So that ties to those services then being delivered in a systematic way. So systemically and systematically, right? That you know that every child who comes through the Nyack Public Schools K-12 will get X, Y, and Z in their skill development level, okay, and in their services. So part of this, so just to picture it, part of this is the curriculum, what children are directly taught and exposed to and experienced. And the other part are programs and services, forums that you run for parents, transition programs, grades 5 to 6, 8 to 9. You know, what do they look like? What are the best models out there for those transition programs? And then, of course, the big chunk of what happens for children grades 8 through 12 as they prepare for college and career. And that's addressed here also. The ASCA framework helps with that, but I need to say you have many pieces already in place. They're not coordinated. Okay? They're not defined, and they're not coordinated. And it's not that that work is magical, but it takes a lot of effort, and it has to be applicable on an annual basis so that it's in no way ever hit or miss. The other piece is that you want it, of course, for every child, and not just the assertive, aggressive hunter who shows up at the door and says, I need these services, how are we going to work this out? You would do that, right, Hunter? Yep. you know, but that there's an assurance that every child has that roadmap that an adult in the counseling program is helping that child with, beginning in the middle school, even earlier than that eighth grade mark. And the last key point from the ASCA framework is that the decisions that are made are data-driven. So when I inquired about, well, from what base of data are you making these decisions? How are you deciding where to put your efforts, your time? What kind of program? Even pieces such as 95% of your children are headed off to college campuses. How many actually get there? Because across our nation, we're shocked that the children who leave our graduation lines in June and say they have a plan to end up on a college campus do not get there in September. And the National Clearinghouse uses a 16-month benchmark. 16 months out are the students who graduated from NIAC and said they were headed to college, still in college. Because we know if they make it through their third semester, they're very likely to get a diploma. And that tells your high school a lot, not just preparing them for the graduation line, but truly preparing them for what happens afterward. So that type of data-driven decision-making that's coordinated, that the department says, this is the data we're looking at, we're all looking at it, and these are the decisions we'll make for our actions based on that data. Pages 16, 17, and 18 go into the three tiers. And I'd like to touch just on tier one, and one point from tier two, if time allows. Am I okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'll take any questions. But to highlight tier one, I understand you've already made movement to toward establishing a position for a full-time director. And I urge that, I support that. 3,000 students have a lot of needs. Those needs are social, emotional, as well as academic, and as well as post-secondary planning. And it is a huge job to coordinate that. And that emphasis should be K-12, not just 6-12. To define that K-12 curriculum with a special attention to social emotional needs of children. The social emotional wellness of your kids is embedded within their career planning, within their college planning, within their ability to make decisions and see a future for themselves. And you do a lot with character education. Some of that will seem similar, but when we really look at the social emotional wellness research, it's a different set of skills. An annual communication plan just for guidance programs and services. That should literally be mapped out on a grid, on a chart, whatever format you'd like to use. But you should not miss a beat in this district. And you've got a great communications director who has done beautiful work that I've stolen. You know, I pick it up every time I'm in the district. And I know that this is a priority for the district. I'm urging a communication plan that applies just to the guidance programs and services that parents can access, but more importantly, that the guidance department lives by. It's not a we would like to do, sometimes we do, it's a we must do, and it has to happen this week, this date, the next month, all the way through the year. Your parents who are at the doorstep knocking, get the answers and get the help. Many who are home are getting nothing pushed to them. They get flyers and information about programs through Peachjar. Is that right? Peachjar. But they don't necessarily get, this is what the counselors do, this is what we're here for, here's what we need you to think about as parents to help guide your children. The last is to look at aspirational schools or peer schools, the very, very best private and public schools across the region, but I would say across the nation. Most of their guidance services and the plans they have for middle school and high school students' career and college planning are on their websites. There are great models that are accessible. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, but there are some holes that you can easily plug in. And using those models, especially aspirational schools, those that are just right, just every so often you look at their programs and you think, oh, there's one that we want to reach. Right, that's what we want to emulate. And the piece from Tier 2 that I don't want to miss is the use of Naviance. As a school district, you have made a wise investment in Naviance as a tool for your students and the adults and parents, the adults in the district and the parents at home. It is not used nearly to the extent that it should be. It is a rich tool. In fact, Naviance has just announced an elementary component just this spring for K-5 children, and much of it is based on what do people in the world do, right? Beyond the obvious, beyond what we would think of as, you know, the fireman and the doctor and the people who are familiar. What do researchers do? What do scientists do? What do people do with those robots? What's happening with data? So there's a very good career exposure, and there's also a very strong social-emotional component to it. So it's there for you. You already own a lot of the components, but most people don't know how to use them or to use them well or deeply enough. I found that from the parents, the students, and even across employees. So you have it, making it a go-to tool for everyone so that people say, got it. Know how to use that data. Know how to get those projections for my child. Right? Know how to get the resources from Naviance. It's right there. There are, of course, another dozen recommendations, but I wanted to bring the highlights to your attention, and I know you still have a full work agenda ahead of you. I also want to take any questions or comments.
Thank you very much. Immediate questions?
Comment. I think it's an excellent report, and I looked at all the recommendations. And if we do them, I think we'll be, you know, well ahead and getting to what we need to get in terms
and,
of
and these are not pie in the sky. These
right.
are so reachable, doable. Yeah. You've got very fine people here who can attend to them. It's a question of the focus.
Yeah. You do know that we do have an open position, correct?
And you love us so much.
I do. And I absolutely do. I have found much to admire here. There's no doubt about it. A little bit of a trek for me.
But thank you. Thank you very much.
It's a great presentation. I just need to absorb.
Yes, of course.
I'll end up with questions.
I like, because my mantra is always don't reinvent the wheel.
And you don't need to.
That's wonderful. Where do we rank, if you could put us in a percentile of just things you have seen where you have done this, where would you rank us? Just a finger in the air.
Yeah, you know, you really are a top-tier school in so many ways. And so much of this is not about having the right components, but it really is about maximizing the resources, realigning some of those components, and I think that big hole of you really do not have a K-12 curriculum.
So I was asking about our guidance and our process. I mean, are we loaded? No, not the school itself. Yeah, we're great.
No. You are. You really are. specifically
about guidance. This. Where do we rank?
You know,
from what you've seen.
I'll tell you a very brief story. I was superintendent in Princeton for a decade. Finished that role 2 years ago. When I walked into that district, I would tell you that the number one concern was the guidance programs and services. Kids were getting into great colleges just as your students are, right? People were faring well, but that department was not together, but they had many of the same components that you do. I will tell you that 4 to 5 years later or sooner, that was one of the stellar departments in the district because they coordinated. They really focused. They named their priorities. They didn't give up on those priorities. They didn't change goals every 3 months. Mm-hmm. No, they worked it. They took their tier one efforts and they worked it very, very hard. Mm-hmm. So first of all, that's a possibility of very fine districts that need that focus, which is what happened. And you are only... You know, I can tell you that if you worked this whole plan at 36 months from now, you would be right where you need to be.
Wow. And another question. For schools where you have made these recommendations or they've done it, what are the outcomes that you're seeing? It's one thing that it's great to do this. What are some of the outcomes that you see? It's intuitive, but I'd love to hear you.
Yeah, there are several outcomes that would be direct yield of this work. The first is, if you look at the range and the variance for literally for all four surveys, middle school students, middle school parents, high school students, high school parents, you need to drive those satisfaction levels way up. You have a third of almost everybody in those four surveys in the middle, and you have high double digits in the low end. How do you rate the overall services in the department? And that needs to get to single digits, right? There'll always be some, but you need to get that to single digits. And you could use that same survey biannually, and it would work. The other yield is, I think you might be surprised by that postgraduate data to say who really does get to that campus and who stays. Because it's one thing for us all to brag about how many kids are leaving us and have a plan. And that's great, right? That takes hard work. That's great. But we need to know that it meant something 12 and 16 months out. In terms of competitive schools, if all counselors have strong relationships with recruiters, admissions offices, really know what schools are looking for, and work that Naviance program, you will see children with more choices in terms of competitive schools. And then I think the social emotional wellness piece, you know, that's hard to put a number or a price on, but our children in our nation and in competitive schools like NIAC are dealing with a lot of issues and a lot of stress. And they need a way to have handholds to work with that and tools to work with their wellness and their emotions.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions?
I think one good point that you made was and you use Hunter as an example, it's one thing in our district to have students that are aggressive and that are going after that, but it's those, our students in the middle who don't have that level of maybe urgency or even the knowledge.
I think, knowledge.
Yeah,
right?
that's a good place that we need to
They don't have the model. They don't have an older sibling or a parent who's taken this path lately.
Exactly.
It's a dependency that we have to guarantee.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out.
I was just, thank you so much for all this. I mean, looking at all the questions that you asked really made you think about all the different components that are, that can be or that are part of the guidance department. I mean, there's so much there, some things that I hadn't even previously thought of being part of guidance, and just sort of what a big job it is. And then,
it is.
Yeah.
And you have very fine people, caring, working it, talented, knowledgeable, needs a framework and coordination.
Yeah.
But there's much more to it. When people say guidance, they tend to think, you know, high school scheduling and college admissions, and that's only a slice of what happens.
Yeah, no, so thank you so much. I just had a small little question. It's kind of more for Dr. Matasano about guidance. I'm just curious, do we list anywhere where, like, when our seniors accept where they're going to college? Do we compile that somewhere? It's such interesting information to know.
And I can provide that list of, usually what it comes in is the list of acceptances that kids have gotten in the schools they've been accepted to, as well as those that may be, you know, choosing to go to the military or directly to the workforce. Mm-hmm. But that is something that we do have available.
Yeah, I've seen it on the bulletin board in the school.
In the school.
It's in your high school profile. That goes out with transcripts to colleges. If you have, there's a formal required profile for every high school in the country, and it does list the our students have enrolled at the following institutions, and you've got a couple hundred institutions.
But even just this year, you know, it's so inspiring to know that. It's so exciting to find out where kids are going. And then it also just gives you such good ideas as a parent. Say, oh, that's a college I never thought of to look at for my kids. So, yes, it would be wonderful.
And I would say look at both the list of where they've been accepted and the list of where they've attended. Because you do see trends. You see, well, they were accepted all over the nation, but they stayed closer to home. They were accepted at private $65,000 a year schools, but needed to financially choose the $35,000 a year school with wisdom. I mean, we had these discussions in my house as well. So, you know, it's interesting to know where they're accepted and where they chose.
Yeah, that would be really interesting to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very accessible, and it was a pleasure really getting to know the community and the district and to serve you hopefully well.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Judy.
And safe travels back down south.
Thank you.
That was tremendous. I'm excited about the possibilities.
Yeah. In my sense, trying to read some of your body language, I know a lot of you have brought this, you know, concerns, or mainly through your own consumption as parents, you know. My sense is, when you read the report, I don't know that you're going to see too many things that will say, geez, I'm really surprised at that. You know, I think some of these things, particularly the communication piece. But again, the directorship, which was, Judy had recommended as well, we really haven't had a single person with a full-time focus. And I know we're already seeing what it's doing for our bilingual E&L programs. And, my hope and belief is that we're going to see the same thing occur with our guidance program. And Judy, don't feel compelled to stay any longer than necessary.
Maybe not, I won't. But as interested and taken as I am, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, workshop item 3.3. So, we have the resolutions. Everybody's hopefully seen them. So we've had the presentation from Brian and from Oscar, Brian Burrell and Oscar Cohen. So at this time, I'd like to open it up for discussion around how we want to move forward. So does anybody want to start the conversation?
Trustee Jumper. The first resolution, where is this from? Not the Nanuet one. The other.
That was that the one that came from
the community member.
When I attended the Rockland County School Board Association meeting. And yeah, it was a community member from East Ramapo that had brought that resolution.
Okay, thank you. You know, I've been one of those, and like Brian, I think originally, I've been one of those that have struggled with the thought of giving state government power over local government. And it is a very serious issue. But I've evolved. It's a matter of urgency. It's a matter of humanitarian urgency, in my opinion. And it's so upsetting to me that it's become somewhat political, because it should be anything but political. It is the absolute abdication of our community's responsibility to educate our children. And in that, there's got to be some solidarity with neighborhoods, with districts nearby, even far if it's bad enough. But certainly with the students in the East Ramapo School District, that I believe personally that we should be as strong in our voice asking for whatever is required to get those kids the education that they absolutely critically have to have and deserve and are entitled to. And if that means a resolution going to, I don't think it should just go to our local politicians. I think we should send it to Senator Flanagan without question. I think it should go to Governor Cuomo. I think it should go to anyone and everyone that we have the ability to send it to. And we should craft a resolution, and we should be supportive of what looks like an obvious and common sense thing, regardless of the political part of it. Because in this particular instance, it's tragic what is going on, and it has to stop. These kids don't get another chance. The ones that are going through are irreparably damaged. And all I can say is that I hope that we can do it fast enough to save some of them, and certainly the ones going that are after. But I think the time has come. Thank you.
Well said, Dan. Well said. Thank you. Further comments? Oh, sorry. Trustee Irvin.
I remember when I ran for the Board of Election, I remember being told that a trustee is a fiduciary of the community that has elected him. A fiduciary is defined as a person to whom property or power is entrusted for the benefit of another. And I think it's incumbent upon trustees of school boards to remember the community that has elected them, not just the specific individuals that voted for them, but for the community that they are responsible for. And that includes everybody within the East Ramapo District, whether you are part of one particular group or another that is clearly taking somewhat divergent paths in that place. I think that as a trustee for the community and for the students of Rockland County, we should stand and support all the students in East Ramapo. I remember your comment, Trustee Juchter, about the oversight concern and the potential slippery slope of having state government. But I do think, and I agree, I think you stated this earlier, this is not, this is an extreme circumstance. I think the situation in East Ramapo is not necessarily one that's going to be precedential for other districts in the state. It's not going to open that door for abuse of power. I think it's just a desperate situation that needs a desperate response. And I think that all of the school boards in Rockland County should align with East Ramapo and support these students that are so disenfranchised in their own district. And I support Nanuet's version. I think Nanuet carefully crafted their version to take out sort of a lot of the emotion in the original community-sponsored version, and I think they just very succinctly said it's our responsibility to support these students, and we support a monitor with veto power, and with that I agree.
Okay, thank you for the comment. Trustee Marashino.
Well, I think what you guys said is great. I am so happy that just being a part, like we have this ability as part of the school board to be part of this one almost small thing. You know, I wish there was even more that we could do, because it seems almost so simple on one hand to just say, yes, let's put this resolution and send it out. And I agree with Dan that we should add more names on here. I like Nanuet's version as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think there was too much stuff that was a little bit questionable in the first version that we looked at. So I think Nanuet's version is great. I would love to add on Senator Flanagan, Governor Cuomo, and then maybe think about if there's a way to really communicate as well as we can that we've done this, to just encourage others in the community to consider, you know, calling their representatives and just being educated on this issue, knowing that it's, you know, I know a lot of people are obviously educated on East Ramapo and the situation there, but just becoming more educated and knowing that this is a step that a lot of school boards are taking. So, yeah, I'd love to sort of move it along as quickly as we can.
Further comments? Trustee Park.
Yeah, I find that the original resolution is is argumentative to the point of not getting the kind of results that you would want to have. The Nanuet resolution speaks to the problem with more light than it does with heat, and I think that that's an important difference. I do want to recognize the last time we visited this issue and Dan Junker spoke about it, the concerns that he echoed, that he presented, but I thought were serious concerns. The idea of crossing over the line into another governing body's jurisdiction is a serious line to cross, and something that you really don't do, and you don't do lightly if you're going to do it. But your first inclination is not to do it. You know, I'm here in my governing body, and I'm supposed to run it, and you go let me do this. You know, it's my business. And the thing that I couldn't help thinking, we're 8 districts in a county, and so I'm evolving the way Dan perhaps did. We're 8 districts in a county. It started to feel the way we're entrusted with the lives and the development of children. And it made me think of living on a block with 8 families. And if there's a family on your block that's having consistent long-term problems, helping out some of the kids, for a while it's not your business because it's their family and they need to work that out. But after a while, societally, it does become your business because it affects the children and it's going to eventually affect you too. And so I think it is incumbent upon us to do some kind of a recognition on this. The writer in me saw something jump out. I couldn't help it. Here, I added a couple of phrases which you may find are of no import at all, but resolutions can make a point and are supposed to make a point. And there are two little phrases that I put in because of conversations that I've heard over time. One of the things that East Ramapo keeps saying is that the formulas aren't just, that we're subject to all kinds of difficulties that are outside of our control. Well, my understanding, having been on this school board for quite some time, is that there are monies that are owed to us over time by the state that we haven't gotten, and there are inequities in unfunded mandates that we have to deal with. And the point is, no matter what it is that's coming from the outside, we have to deal with it. You have to, the roof can't be leaking. It doesn't matter what's happening outside. So that's why I'm suggesting just inserting whereas, notwithstanding outside parameters placed on the district, when a board consistently acts, and then I would add to that, over a long period of time, that's when you have to say, enough is enough. It's time for us to say, you guys need some kind of help. Maybe you still have to figure it out yourself, but we're saying so. I don't know if those kinds of things are important enough to you to consider making that kind of a change. The over a long period of time, I couldn't help putting in because that's a phrase from the Declaration of Independence. And it's something, King George didn't only just do things badly to us consistently, he did it over a long period of time. And that's when we stood up and we said no more. And the other one was just because so much of the time I've heard about, well, the formula is not just, and we can't do anything about it. All they have to do is give us the money. We'll do it. You find a way. It's your job to find a way. And so that we can change it or not change it, but that's just a suggestion that I would put forth to you for consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. Trustee Mark.
Thanks. I actually support the Nanuet version with the revision from Trustee Mark. I like that because I think it emphasizes this has been going on too long. So I like that. And Jen, when you mentioned that a lot of school boards are doing it, it would be only so far Nanuet and us. There are not a lot. Mm. And that's one of the things that the executive director pointed out in her response to Leanne, that the only district that had the courage of conviction as of last month was the Nanuet School District. So we will be the second.
Right.
Kanye did mention, I'm not to interrupt, but I thought there was a few in Long Island.
Yes. Kanye did mention, I mean, in Rockland, there are some, and there are many, more than a few than in Long Island, but speaking strictly of Rockland. And then to Leanne's point about the fiduciary, the New York State Bar did a very good write-up on the fiduciary oath of office to uphold the law and discharge our duty. So, you know, they fully supported it, and they put together some really good language. But I like the revision. And then in terms of overreach, also from the New York State Bar, they indicated that they didn't take a position on the takeover, but they referenced a case. Leanne, I'm surprised you're not bringing this to us since you're not here. But they reference a case in which the state removed the entire Roosevelt Union Free School District Board and replaced the board with the commissioner's own appointees and gave the commissioner the ability to control and appoint and remove the superintendent. So the Roosevelt School District, according to New York State Bar, had faced similar circumstances similar to those in East Ramapo. The high dropout rate, the low academic performance and state test and fiscal mismanagement. And so the state oversaw that district for about 11 years with close oversight and legal control. And I can't help but think if that would happen in East Ramapo, what it would look like, you know, even in just 5 years. So this bill focuses on the East Ramapo School District, and it's a fiscal disaster. So this monitor of veto power to me is just the beginning. And it's something that the New York State Bar fully supported. And so, thanks for pursuing this committee and putting it on the agenda. I think that we should definitely support this version.
One thing I'd like to say, I agree with everything that's been said. I like the Nanuet one. I think this needs a wee bit more teeth to it. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of stressing the fiduciary responsibility. That's a statement of fact. Mm-hmm. I'd like to put that in there. I'd love to have something that says... That's compelling. This is wrong. This is wrong from a factual basis. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you guys feel. I just some of that. Some of the facts that are in the other ones. I don't know how you feel. You know, when it says here that, you know, we've had in 2015 New York State Ed monitors, boom, 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 affirmed Greenberg's findings and concluded that school board has persistently failed to act. And if that's public information, put it in there. It's a statement with teeth. We're past a slippery slope, right? I think we're taking a stand. Let's put some oomph behind it. I don't think we go as far. The other one was all over the place, and you're right. There was a lot of, I agree with you, Michael, we take out the emotion out of that, but if there's some facts there, and I don't know how you feel, I just want to throw it out there.
I can pass out, or you can forward it to the entire board. The summary by the New York State Bar really has all the facts. Because they do it from a strictly legal standpoint. So it gives you the...
Like that?
Huh?
Why don't you
yeah,
like
I will.
That?
And that you can
that
basically
would be,
do excerpts
be worth
and give you the oomph that you're looking to get.
I'm not looking for something massive. I'm not looking for the hammer blow.
Right.
We don't want it too long.
You just need to take a few
just some tea.
Facts out of that.
I'm sorry.
Might I suggest that perhaps two or three board members could get together to craft it, maybe Leanne and James... And Michael,
sure.
We have our legal representation. We have thorough investigations. We have someone who already was beginning to craft it. So
I
didn't want because.
Oh, I see. He's going. Yeah. Delegate.
So you delegate.
Just a suggestion.
Yeah, that works.
And I can forward it to you.
I like that idea. I was just going to say I think we should just do it as quickly as we can because
I was getting to that, which is good, but. We'd like to, if you guys could get together and bring this back for the next meeting, circulate it to us ahead of time, so that we've got it, we can consider it, discuss it next meeting, and boom, we're done. Well done, Doctor.
Yeah.
We've got to get you something to do before June's out. All right, Michael, you good?
Sure. Yeah.
I think we would be remiss without saying thank you to Oscar, he left, and
Brian, and to Brian,
because they really brought a lot
good information
to the table.
Very good information.
So thank you.
And Brian, I found a lot of your quotes very inspiring, and I sat here, it's like, yes.
Absolutely.
And so thank you very much for giving us some perspective on this. Very much appreciated.
Just a point of clarification in terms of preparing the next agenda. Our next meeting, believe it or not, is as soon as May 3rd, I think. And the reason for that is simply because you had to adopt the budget tonight, and you also have to have the formal hearing in a certain time frame. What I would suggest is we'll place it on another workshop item for the night of the 3rd. We're going to be closed. I'm actually going to be away all the next week, but we can still, you know, if you have something to us, even by Monday or even Tuesday, we can get it into your board docs to ensure that everybody can have an opportunity to review it. If the board can gain consensus, you can always push it if, you know, in terms
into
of
action.
If you want to
on
expedite
that day.
It, to take action on it that very same evening for a motion on the board.
Yep. Perfect. Thank you, guys. Thank great you. Discussion.
Karen, with apologies, I need to be excused. I have to go and take care
are
of the birthday
party.
Are
you asking? Don't tell me. I'm
asking.
No.
I'm asking politely, but okay. If you say no,
course.
I'll leave anyway.
All right. Thank you,
everyone.
James.
Thank
you for your participation tonight. Okay. Moving on, action items. Are there any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on any of the action items? We'll move forward. Do we have a motion to accept action items 4.2 through 4.4?
Who is our?
Well, actually.
This is board members.
This is voting for
the administrative budget.
It's administrative budget, but member.
And the board member election of 4.3.
Who is going to be our representative?
No, this isn't for our district. It's just all the districts have to vote
for
available seats. And this one,
it's on this.
It's nominated. It's for Bernard Charles.
Okay.
Yeah,
Wendy had also.
It's in the packet.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay.
Do you want to see this?
No, that's fine.
No, we're good. Michael, will you exempt yourself from any?
No, this thing I think I can vote.
You
this I can vote.
So I don't have to pull it out separately.
Right.
You good to go? All right, mm-hmm. Good. So do we have a motion to accept action items 4.2 to 4.4?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Vote for this.
Abstained? Motion carries. Just for the record, if you could note that Trustee Marshall has left the meeting and did not cast a vote, and we should have said Trustee Rock is not here and also has not cast a vote.
Well, it's recorded in the minutes. You know, she takes she records the
just
action.
Just for the podcast, because no one heard the big guy tonight, so just letting them know. Yeah, right. Okay, Dr. Monsanto, anything on business to highlight?
No, just again, a very large thanks to Michael Proveda for the donation, which will be a real benefit to the athletic department.
Excellent, thank you. Do we motion to accept action items 5.1 to 5.7?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Personnel, Dr.
Yes, I do want to bring attention to item number 6.4, and that is a resignation for retirement purposes from Raquel DaCosta, and simply to wish Raquel the very, very best in her impending retirement, and certainly thank her for her dedicated service to the students of Nyack High School.
Thank you, Dr. Montesano. Do we have a motion to accept action items 6.1 through 6.4?
Motion. Second.
Second. Discussion? In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
We are adjourned.
All right.